It is my joy to be with you tonight with the choir, and it's a special privilege to be able to share the Word of God. There's a wee verse in the Bible in Galatians 6 and verse 7 that says, "For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And last week I was away with the choir and I was testifying, and I took up the preacher's time, and I could see the wee man sitting down there sweating. And it was me sitting down there sweating tonight. "So whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So never worry about it, Gordon." I have a message. I actually prepared this message to preach in my new church next Sunday night when I start. But I see two of them here, so I'll not be able to do that. I'll not be able to do it here either. So I'll just skip through the message as quick as I can. And I trust the Lord will bless His Word to our hearts tonight. What I want you to do is come to Matthew's Gospel chapter 27, please. I really want to read from John chapter 19, but I want to set the scene. And I want you to see the sequence of events that we find. And we're coming to Calvary, of course, and we're coming to that day when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, full of grace and truth, was crucified on that old rugged cross for wretched sinners such as we. Now, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22. I just want to read a verse here, and then verse 26, just so you see the sequence of events, and then we'll come to John chapter 19, please. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22 says, "Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Now we'll notice that Pilate has learned something very, very wonderful about the Lord Jesus. "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." Now drop your eye down to verse 26, please. "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus," that's what I want you to see. There's the question, and then there's the scourging. That's the sequence of events. "And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Now, let's come to John chapter 19, please. John chapter 19, I want to read some verses here. And what I want to talk about in the gospel meeting tonight is the deeds of a doomed sinner. And as you read down these verses with me, please try and notice the deeds of a doomed sinner, because this is what a doomed sinner does. These are the sort of actions that a sinner who's going to reject Christ and go to hell for eternity, these are the sort of things that he is going to do. You listen and watch what Pilate does. Now let's read the verses here, John chapter 19 and verse 1. "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him." Now you can see the events coming together here. There's the question, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers added a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priest therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." And you can see that that's twice now that Pilate has said, "I find no fault in him." Pilate says that the Lord Jesus is faultless. He can see nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse 7 it says, "The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid." And you can see that this man is now afraid. And he knows that the Lord Jesus is faultless. Look at verse 16. "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Now look very carefully at verse 22. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Well, then there we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to all our hearts. When we find the word then in the Bible, usually it brings us to a very significant moment and a very significant movement in the life or in the event of something. And if you look at verse 1, you'll notice that this is a very significant moment and a very significant movement in the life of Pontius Pilate. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Now if you study the word of God and if you read the word of God carefully, you'll discover that this is possibly the first time ever that Pontius Pilate has met with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you turn back in your Bible, please, to Luke chapter 23 and verse 6, I want you to see this, because this is the Lord Jesus being brought in before Pilate. And Pilate's looking upon this man, this stranger of Galilee, sometimes we call him. And here's what Pontius Pilate said. Luke 23 verse 6, and I want you to turn back to John 19 quickly after that. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. Here's the Lord Jesus, who has been preaching in this little country of Israel for 3.5 years. He's been doing making the blind to see and raising the dead and doing all sorts of wonderful things. And this fellow here hasn't even heard about it. And he doesn't even know nothing about the Lord Jesus. Look what it says there in verse 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man. He doesn't even know the name of the Lord Jesus. Even though Israel is just a small country and the Lord Jesus has been doing miracles, this man hasn't even heard about him and he doesn't know the name of Jesus Christ. And look what it says in verse 6. He asked whether the man were a Galilean. He doesn't know where he's from. He hasn't a clue about the name or about the origin of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day when Pilate meets the Savior for the very first time. The man who the Lord Jesus, or Pilate, needs most of all in this world. The one that he needs to meet more than anybody else is standing right before him. And what you've got is the Son of God, the Savior of sinners, the only Savior that ever was, standing before a guilty, vile, wretched sinner. And on that day, Pilate was closer to hell than he'd ever been before in his life. And here before him is the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Now, even though Pilate doesn't know anything about the Lord Jesus, and even though he doesn't know where he's from, he knows that he's got to make a decision. Remember the question. Remember the question in Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Even though he didn't know his name, and even though he didn't know where he come from, Pilate knows that he can't be neutral. And my dear friend, in this meeting tonight, I want to tell you that you can't be neutral about the Lord Jesus. Maybe you claim that you don't know very much about him. That doesn't matter. You can't be neutral about the Lord Jesus. Pilate even knew that. Remember the question. What shall I do then with Jesus? Pilate has learned the lovely name. What does it mean? It means Savior. What shall I do with the Savior, he said. Pilate has learned the name of the Lord Jesus. Then it says, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Christ is the anointed one from heaven. Pilate has begun to understand that this man is a Savior and this man has come from heaven. And he knows he cannot be neutral. I want you to see, first of all, dear friends, the choice that Pilate made. Look at John 19 and verse 1. This is the choice that Pilate made. And my dear friend, this is one of the deeds of a doomed sinner, because this is what doomed sinners do all the time. They get to know that Jesus Christ is a Savior, and they get to know that the Lord Jesus has come from heaven, and then they turn around, and here's what they do. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. That's the choice that Pilate made. Right after the question, right after he asked that wonderful question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? He just takes him right away, and he binds his hands. And he stretches him over the scourging pole. And here's what it says in verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. If the verse had a set. Then therefore Pilate took Jesus and bowed before him. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Dear friend, is that the choice that you're going to make tonight? Are you going to bow before him? Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and worshipped him. Is that what you're going to do tonight with the Lord? You're going to have to do something. If it had said that he bowed before him, if it had said that he worshipped him, if it had said that he received him as a Savior, if it had said that he repented of his sins and trusted Christ, that would be wonderful. But look what it says. Here's what it says. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. That's the choice that Pilate made. You see, that's what doomed sinners do. Even though they know that Jesus Christ is a Savior, and even though they know that he's come from heaven's glory, they turn their back on the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. That's the choice that Pilate made. Look at verse 2 very quickly. I want you to see now the Christ that Pilate saw. You see, there's a choice that Pilate made. Pilate decided, I'm going to tie his hands and I'm going to open his back and I'm going to scourge him. And then I want you to see the Christ that Pilate saw. Look at verse 2 and verse 3. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. After Pilate had made his choice, the soldiers took the Lord Jesus Christ. And these soldiers, they mocked the Savior. Verse 2 says that they made a crown of thorns, or they plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and a purple robe on him. Pilate is now seeing a mocked Christ. And dear friend, when a sinner turns their back on the Lord Jesus, what they're doing is mocking Christ. And God is allowing Pilate to see what he's just done with the Lord Jesus. Pilate's looking upon a mock Christ. He can see the crown of thorns on his head. Thorns in the Bible, of course, speak of sin. And Pilate can see that the Lord Jesus is the sin bearer. He's the one who's going to go to the cross and bear away sin. But Pilate has mocked the sin bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees the purple robe. He's been mocked as a king. If Pilate had trusted the Lord Jesus, he would have been Lord and King of his life, but he's mocked the Lordship and he's mocked the kingship of Jesus Christ. And dear friend, is that what you're going to do tonight? Are you going to make a mockery out of the Lord Jesus Christ who came from heaven to die on Calvary's cross? The one who wore the crown of thorns? The one who was nailed by the hands and by the feet? Are you going to make a mockery of the Lord Jesus tonight? Because if you turn your back on him, that's exactly what you'll do. Pilate saw a mock Christ. But look at verse 3. Pilate saw a mutilated Christ. Verse 3 says, and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Here are 600 of Pilate's personal guard, these soldiers. And they're taking turns to batter the lovely face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate looks upon a mock Christ. And then he looks upon a mutilated Christ. But friend, I want you to notice something. He didn't change his mind. No, no. The sufferings of Jesus Christ meant nothing to Pontius Pilate. Pilate can see him crowned with thorns, dressed in a purple robe, his face battered beyond recognition, and it doesn't touch him, and it doesn't move him, and he doesn't change his mind, because, dear friend, that's what doomed sinners do. The sufferings of Jesus Christ doesn't mean anything to them. And I know from this pulpit, Sunday after Sunday, these brethren have brought you to Calvary. And they've told you about the cross and the horrors of Calvary. And it hasn't moved you and it hasn't touched you. And tonight you're closer to hell than you've ever been before. Because the sufferings of Christ haven't moved your heart. That's why the old prophet Jeremiah, way back in Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 12, said this. Is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, behold and see if there are any sorrow like unto my sorrow. With the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. And this is the Lord Jesus on the cross. And these are the very thoughts of his heart. People are walking by and they're untouched and they're unmoved by the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our friend, this is what doomed sinners do. They reject the Savior. And they're unmoved and they're untouched by the sufferings of Christ. Now let's look very quickly at verse 4. I want you to see the choice that Pilate made. And I want you to see the Christ that Pilate saw. But I want you to see the claim that Pilate made. Look at verse 4. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you that ye may know. Pilate says, I want you people to know something. I want everybody to be very clear about this now. That ye may know that I find no fault in him. Pilate said, look, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the Lord Jesus. In fact, Pilate is saying that he is the faultless Christ. And yet he turned his back on him. Dear friend, could I point you just for a few moments tonight to the faultless Christ? There's no blemish in our Savior, the Lord Jesus. There's absolutely nothing wrong with him. He's faultless in his love. Because nobody ever loved you like the Lord Jesus loved you. Remember what it says in John chapter 15 and verse 13? Greater love hath no man than this, than a man should lay down his life for his friends. Remember Romans 5 verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh friend, he's faultless in his love. I'll tell you better than that, he's faultless in his life. You see, Peter could say in 1 Peter 2 verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He's faultless in his life. He never put a foot wrong. He never said a word wrong. He's faultless in his power. There's a wee verse over in Hebrews 7 verse 25. It says, wherefore he also was able to save them to the uttermost, all that come unto God by him. Dear friend, he's faultless in his love. And he's faultless in his life. And he's faultless in his power. And he's faultless in his death. Hebrews 10 verse 12 says, with this man, when he had offered up one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, he's faultless in his work. And friend, here's Pilate saying now, this is a faultless Savior. Absolutely nothing wrong with him, and yet he turns his back on the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what doomed sinners do. And friend, if I was to ask you tonight to go to these two gentlemen here, and you tell them all the faults that you can find in the Lord Jesus, there's nobody going over to say anything to them. In fact, they wouldn't allow you to say anything about the Lord Jesus. There's no fault in him. Now, you could find fault in me, all right. If you were to follow me about for a day or two, you'd soon find some faults in me. And maybe you're not saved tonight because you have found a fault. Maybe you've found a fault in some believer who lives near you, or maybe he goes to your church, or maybe he hasn't paid his bills, or maybe he's not even saved. And my friend, you're allowing that backslidden, maybe just false professing person to make you to go to hell for all eternity. Oh, friend, you're a fool. Pilate's a fool, isn't he? To say to everybody, this is a faultless Savior, and yet I'm letting him pass me by. Don't let him pass you by tonight. You can see the choice that Pilate made, the Christ that Pilate saw, the claim that Pilate made. Look at the cry that Pilate uttered. We're very quickly now in verse 5. Then came forth, Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. That's what he said. Now, there's people that go about the doors in Northern Ireland knocking the door and pestering people, and all they'll tell you is that Jesus Christ is a good man. If you push them hard enough, they'll say that he was a son of God. And all they'll tell you is about the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all that Pilate saw. Look what it says there, behold the man. He can't see any further than the humanity of Christ. If you notice down to verse 14 there, you'll see that he ups his game a wee bit and he says, behold your king. But friend, I want to say this very carefully tonight. There's not a man in this world, and there's not a king in this world that could save your soul from hell. No, we see the Lord Jesus is more than man. He's God manifest in flesh. He's the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Pilate just can see the humanity. Oh, and he can see the royalty. But he cannot see the deity of Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, if you turn your back on Jesus Christ, you're not just rejecting a man. You're not turning your back on a king. You're rejecting God. Your only hope of salvation, you're rejecting the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. You can see the cry that Pilate uttered. Now, look at verse 7. I want you to see the concern that Pilate had. Because verse 7 says, the Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, what was that saying? These old Jews are saying, look, this man says he's the Son of God. Pilate says, I thought he was just a man. Look what it says there in verse 8. When he heard that saying, he was more afraid. And here's a man now standing before the Lord Jesus, and he's afraid. But I'll tell you, that's not enough to get you saved. Many a meeting I went to and I was afraid. And many a meeting I went to and I came under conviction of sin. And many a meeting I went to and was troubled about salvation, but I didn't get saved. And friend, I'll tell you, it's not fear that'll save you, it's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can see the concern that he had, but friend, it's not enough to be concerned. And it's not enough to be convicted. It's not enough to have a sleepless night or two. You've got to come as a guilty, rotten sinner and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And you can see another deed of a doomed sinner. Even though he's afraid, Even though the fear of God has gripped him, he's still going to turn his back on the lovely, lovely Son of God. Look at verse 22 very quickly. I want you to see the calamity that Pilate faced. Verse 22 says, Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." You see, Pilate has stepped over the deadline of God's grace. My father used to say, and that hymn we sang at the start of the meeting, we sang at his funeral a couple of months ago. He used to say, "You made your bed, you're going to have to lie in it." And my dear friend, Pilate has made his bed and he's going to have to lie in it now. Look at verse 22. He says, "What I have written, I've written." He says, "I can't go back on it. I can't change my mind. I can't reverse my decision. I've stepped over the deadline and I'm lost." And that's another deed of a doomed sinner. You see, what he had done with Christ that day, and what he had said about Christ that day, and how he had treated Christ that day, sealed his doom to hell for all eternity. Even though he knew that Jesus Christ was faultless, and even though the fear of God had gripped his heart, this man has rejected Christ. This was the first time, and this was the last time, that he's ever going to have a chance to get saved. My dear friend, many times, how many times have you sat in this free Presbyterian church and heard the gospel faithfully preached and sat maybe trembling in your sin and walked out the doors without Jesus Christ? How many times? Here's what it says in verse 1. "He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall," listen, "suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And that's what has happened to Pontius Pilate. Dear friend, these are the deeds of a doomed sinner. Are you going to do any of these things tonight? Are you going to come by faith and repentance and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your own and personal Savior? Pilate has thrown his opportunity away. Oh, friend, please don't. Don't throw your opportunity away tonight. May the Lord bless his word to your heart.